There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Start off a fresh week here, and glad you're along. Easy to get in touch with the show as well. 251... That's what I'm, see, I'm doing good on my New Year's resolution to keep using the area code 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. In addition, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use that microphone icon on there to record a message, email it to the show, emails it to the show, and then I can play it back here on there. All right, so all that stuff lined up, and let's go, go, go. Coming up in hour number two, we'll talk to Doug Harwell running for Senate District 34. That, and take a look at the shutdown in Washington. But right now, we focus on Montgomery without delay, the hardest working man in Alabama media. You know him, you love him from Capital Journal, and you read his work 6 days a week in Alabama Daily News. Email, crowd goes wild for Todd Stacey. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
I'm good. Good. You fired up? Big week?
I don't know about fired up. I'm trying to thaw out.
Are you without power still, or do you got
power? No. We were only out without power for a couple of days. I'm still waiting on the, you know, trees to get cleared and stuff. But, no, we're fully functional. It's just that, you know, when it gets down to, like, 22 degrees, my house was not built for that. And so... at multiple days. This is really cold. So,
Don't worry. It's Alabama. We'll be sweating in a week or two.
That's exactly right.
You know, we don't have to wait long. All right. I want you to help me navigate some things I read in the email and try to understand this better for all of us. So, you had the ALGOP committee meeting here, steering committee, I guess it was yesterday, dismissing these challenges for Coach Tuberville, for Governor and John Wall, running for lieutenant governor on residency. First of all, let me just for a second, can we not, because we had our own issue down here in city council, can we not get some people that have just been in the state forever run for office? Dang it. Okay. Now that. Okay. But I mean, what these challenges, are they frivolous, or what did the committee decide?
Well, they dismissed it. First of all, we've not heard from the actual committee. Like they don't send out press releases or anything like that on residency challenges and stuff like that. So we've had to kind of dig, you know, find other sources and things. So yes, we'll start with Tuberville. That was dismissed unanimously by the steering committee. That's significant, especially before we get to Wall. So we've all been aware of Tuberville's residency issues. Mary Sell for Daily News did a very deep dive. I guess that was back in the summer.
Yeah, we talked about this, for once, her work actually explained, instead of just being yes, no, it explained what the question was.
Well, yeah, get beyond the political, and what is his basic claim to residency? And he has a homestead tax exemption. In Lee County, in Auburn, going back to, it was either 2017 or 2018. I think it's 2017. Well, you can only claim one homestead tax exemption. You can't claim one in one state and one in another state. So at the very basic level, he has resided, as far as the federal government and the IRS are concerned, in Auburn since 2017. So you take travel habits and whether you stay at your beach house aside, tax-wise, and you can only have one, you know, homestead, It's been in Auburn for well over that 7 year period. So to me, that was a really key piece of evidence that, like, okay, now everybody wants to point to, well, how often was he traveling back and forth from Washington to Santa Rosa in Florida, and how much time was he spending at his beach house? I mean, I don't know how relevant that might be legally. It certainly wasn't relevant to the Alabama Republican Party Steering Committee, seeing as it was a unanimous decision to dismiss this. But again, to me, he's got solid records going back more than enough time, and it's fine. And just personally, I mean, if I had a beach house in Florida, I'd probably spend a lot more time there as much time as I could.
And there's not a requirement. I mean, there's not a requirement in this that you spend X number of days in a place, right? It's just your primary residence. I mean, you don't have to check off a card. I was there for 3 days. I was over here for 4 days.
Now, if it comes out that, you know, Florida doesn't have an income tax, and so that's one thing. Like, let's just say that they did, and he was paying income tax down there. Well, that would be interesting, right? That'd be, well, why would you pay, you know? But they don't have an income tax in Florida, so it's a little different. Obviously, he pays property tax on that beach house. In fact, that was the basis of a lot of folks coming after him, because there were records.
Yeah, this one. Okay, explain this part, because this is the part everybody jumps on. I thought that was real good that was explained to me in that article this summer.
Well, it's amazing the kind of reporting you can do when you just call the front office. So Mary Sell, the allegation was, look, he's been there's a tax record out there showing that he is paying homestead income tax or homestead
exemption
property tax exemption in Santa Rosa County. Well, Mary called the office, and she said, look, I can tell you everything you want to know about this. The way it happens is when they bought the house back in, I guess, 2016 or so, there was an exemption on it from the previous owner. And the way that works is it is transferred, and then you do away with it, right?
You have to then say, no, it's not. That's not my primary, because it came from the previous owner.
Right, because it's just the way you buy property. So we just had to get on the phone and explain all that. So, again, I just don't think, to me, it's not even close. The ones that have really been pushing this, of course, you know, Doug Jones, but really before Doug Jones ever got on this, it's been those in the media, you know, your Kyle Whitmires of the world that really just want to see Tuberville defeated one way or the other. And the easiest way this time is, you know, kicking him off the ballot. But with that homestead exemption, it makes it really tough, in my opinion.
So, the sword of Damocles is not hanging over Coach's head going into this, that it will be a May surprise or something rolled out by Doug Jones. I mean,
a
November or October surprise. That's going to be hanging out there. All right, so what about the John Wall story? I mean, this thing, I'm trying to be fair here, but I mean, I hear different pieces like a homemade ID, different names and stuff like that. I'm confused. I'm just trying to figure out what's true.
John Wall has more problems than just residency. But on the residency thing, that got decided over the weekend. And so the challenge to his residency to keep him off the ballot also failed. But according to our sources, it was first a tie. The steering committee was at a tie, and then the deciding vote came from the chairman, who, John Wall was the chairman, little more than a week ago, but he stepped down to run for office, and so Joan Reynolds, who has been named acting chair, she, when the vote was tied 9-9, she stepped in and voted to dismiss and broke the tie. That's pretty significant. That means you have, you know, basically half the executive committee of the Republican Party, which, by the way, this is the party that selected him.
That's right.
To be chairman. Chair.
Yes.
Believes that there is at least enough to investigate. Not that they weren't voting on whether or not to kick him off the ballot. They were voting on whether to move forward with a process to look into it. And so at least half the board thinks that they should. But that's not going to happen. One thing we should clarify is just because these challenges have been dismissed by the Republican Party doesn't mean there can't be a legal challenge down the road. And so that's
they had to gauge it, right? I mean, they have to. I mean, if I'm sitting on that committee, I have to say, how big of a risk is this? Y'all, show me what you got. Is this? I mean, are we setting ourselves up for a problem going down the road here? Because, well, he's not the chairman anymore. He's the candidate, but that is a reflection of the Republican Party, you know. So, and he's the Trump endorsed and all that. I mean, I would make sure I did my due diligence on this.
Oh, absolutely. It could blow up and become a problem, not just for the Alabama Republican Party, but for Trump and anybody else. I mean, I'm not sure how much Trump really cares. That was a pretty random endorsement. But, again, the residency issues are more obscure. They're kind of nebulous in terms of he has a driver's license from Tennessee. And that's the one that really sticks out. Like, I really doubt Tuberville has a driver's license from Florida.
Right.
You know, he has a driver's license from Tennessee. The reason we know that is it was used in a traffic stop. And he was registered to vote in Tennessee.
Am I being some kind of weird conspiracy guy? But this stuff starts, I mean, there's some smoke here. I need to go see if there's a fire.
Well, that's the thing. This vote wouldn't have been to condemn him. It would have been just to investigate it further.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the fact that it was a split decision with, you know, the tying vote coming from basically his second in command, that's the story.
Yeah, I mean, he's barely sliding in home plate here. I mean, it's not like it was a unanimous decision that there was nothing to investigate here.
But he's got Brian Taylor, who, you know, that you're probably familiar with that name. You know, he's been around the state for a long time, and that's who's representing him. That, I think, does add a good deal of confidence to anybody paying attention. Brian knows election law very well. He's been involved in campaign disputes for a long time, and so the fact that he's employed him, first of all, it's a really good decision by John Wall to bring on an attorney of Brian Taylor's stature, and so that I have to think that whatever deliberation the committee went through, having Brian Taylor say no, we're fine, but again, I don't blame anybody on the committee for thinking, let's actually move forward with a process here instead of just dismissing it outright.
Right. Shift gears here, too, and not only a story over at Alabama Daily News, but a guest you had was on Capital Journal, and that's Senator Marika Coleman. Are we going through this again? I mean, your quote here, Coleman said on Capital Journal Friday, I have a clean lottery bill. Hear that, everybody? Clean.
I mean,
if you hadn't been through the wars on this, you would believe this would work. I have a clean lottery bill that I'm very excited about. It's lottery and gaming. All right. And then said, I think the people of the state of Alabama should have an opportunity to vote yes or no. Do we want this in the state of Alabama? That's all great if you haven't paid attention to the news for the last decade plus.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this, and look, I love it when people come on Capital Journal and make some news. And that's what she did. She came on and said, if you watch it, I say she's talking about some of the bills she had on the floor, which is why we had her on. She's moving legislation. I say, hey, anything else you're working on? She's like, well, I've got a clean lottery bill. I'm ready to bring it. And so I said, okay.
Go ahead.
Make some news. So the reason why it's news is because, you know, last year, Senator Greg Allbritton was preparing a comprehensive gambling bill, much like the one that failed by one vote before.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the jump on it and started reporting on it. And so I remember we had Senator Allbritton in studio to talk about it. And then Senator Gudger, who's the president pro tem, he's the leader of the Senate, sent out a statement before our interview even ran saying, we are not doing this gambling this year. We're not doing it for the rest of this term in the legislature. That was a pretty firm statement from the leader of the Senate saying, we're not going to consider gambling until after the next election. So that's what she has to deal with. And I asked her about that. You know, Senator Gudger was pretty clear that nothing's going to happen. And her response to that was, look, he doesn't get to decide everything. If the people demand it, then we can do it. And that's all fine. I don't expect it to go anywhere, but it is news that a state senator, a veteran state senator for that, who does not face a primary challenge, is not like a way to, you know,
get yourself in the news just to do
right,
it.
Right, yeah. With voters. She's free and clear, but she has a lottery bill, and we'll see you know, clean, that's why we had to put the scare quotes around it. Clean doesn't mean clean to everybody, right? And if it was just straight up, I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's still not going to move, likely. But anyway, go read the story and decide for yourself.
Yeah, we'll discuss this going forward in the show. Remind folks, too, Capital Journal during session, the very busy schedule for your show on the TV.
That's right. We're each night during session, so Monday through Thursday, we're at 10:30 p.m. or after your local news, and we tell you what happened that day in the legislature. And then on Fridays is our weekend review episode, and that airs at 7:30. And it's exactly what we do. We review the entire week of what happened to bring you up to speed in an hour-long format, and that airs on Sunday as well.
Okay, and y'all, I always talk about this being good any time of year, but especially during session, getting that email in your inbox 6 days a week, even if you don't do what I do for a living, is a nice thing. Tell people how to get signed up.
Oh, absolutely, and there's been just several dozen new subscriptions lately. I don't know what happened, but yes, to people are understanding, this is the way to get your legislative news. It's just aldailynews.com. Enter your name and your email right there on the homepage, and you'll be on the list.
All right, Todd, go warm up, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah. Right, 12:27 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Grab a couple texts here too, and we can get more into the. What Marika Coleman, Senator Coleman said, do we have to go back through this? Maybe we do. You know, I've said this in the past, back when we were in the depths of these discussions on gambling, we should just do like a frequently asked questions, because I get the frustration, but there's reasons this doesn't happen. Here's how you make that change. You put different people in office, but that's not going to happen. Right, you got to, and we'll talk about it when we get back from the news. All right, Jason on the text line said, Sean, thank you, and the gentleman from Mobile Pirate Radio, that's Rob Moore, I think, for the heads up on the Dr. Frank event. It opened my eyes to just how corrupt our voting system is and how lost Irwin is, especially if he believes these machines aren't connected to the internet. Dr. Frank called him out specifically. The event that was on Saturday. And this, you know, this is a continuing discussion. I'd like to get him on the show for like an hour, you know, where we can talk to him. Unnamed texter. What if Tuberville failed to pay Alabama income tax? Would that argue against him being an Alabama resident? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, those questions were answered when he ran for Senate. And this from Keith said, Todd Stacey is a great example of non-biased reporting. He just gives it to you like it is. Many journalists could learn a thing or two from him. Yeah, there's a handful of these folks out there that I like to talk to. But he and I were analyzing there in the ALGOP committee, and they didn't put out a press release, but what they found out is, I just think it's worth paying attention to the fact that it was a very close vote on whether or not to do the investigation into the residency for John Wall. If you're a Republican loyalist, you should want that as well. That if there's questions there, shouldn't that be vetted intra-party before it gets... It seems like that would be a big... And some of these questions, I wish we could just get simple answers to, right? But show me that you're, you know, publish the documents to show that you're a resident of Alabama and you've been for 7 years and everything's cool. You know, with the Tuberville thing, that's why I had Todd retell that story from this summer, because Mary Sells' reporting was finally when I understood how they could have this idea that Tuberville was a Florida resident. It's because of the previous owner of the property had homestead exemption. It went to Tuberville, and then they had to get rid of it after, you know, it transferred with the sale. See, that's like, Keith, that's reporting I like, too. That's things I can understand. All right. Now, on to the things we don't understand or may understand a little bit. We'll get to those when we come back.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Great time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and let's talk some inventory, David.
Hey, bud. Yeah, we got a great inventory. We've got a little over 80 units on the ground.
Wow.
So, and not everything's on the website right now. So that's as good a selection as most anybody out there, I would say, if you're looking for something. And we don't have it. Like I said, we can always find it, but we should have it.
Yeah, that's a full lot with that many vehicles, and people want to check those out. You said they're not all on the website, but pretty soon this week they will, right? The website's pretty easy. That's the one I use.
Oh, yeah. They'll all be on there in the next 24 hours. I mean, we've got some really nice BMWs came in. We've got some real small SUVs, Suburbans, Yukons, tons of trucks. We've always got trucks, and small and full-size, four-wheel drive, two-wheel drive. So, yeah, we got a really nice work van. We've got a work van with a roof rack. It's a one-ton van with a roof rack, and it's got the bins inside of it. So anybody in the electrical business, plumbing business, or anything like that, look for something. We got a real nice one out here.
All right. Well, tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can go by the website. It's lcmmotorcars.com. Check it out. And if you got a question about something or you don't see something on there you may be looking for, 251-375-0068.
Hey, thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars. Let me grab a couple of these texts here, and we'll come back to this. The story about the clean lottery thing. Let's see. Fire Dog said, start reading an article about the election in Costa Rica. In the article, it said the voter turnout was 69%. We can't even get 6 or 9%. What the hell? No, in certain ones. I mean, we get in the teens, but it's horrible. I mean, you would think, let's just have a plurality for turnout. You know, let's shoot for 51% of the people show up. Jim in Georgetown said, you're right about putting in new people. Their job title is lawmakers. Pretend I said that really slow so they can understand it. There's no such thing as can't when you literally make the laws. Don't like the Alabama Constitution? Make an amendment. Don't like a law? Change it. Get the darn money out of Montgomery and quit making excuses. Your job is to do the will of your constituents, not the lobbies. Well said, Jim. So what I'm getting at there is the roadblocks here. For what do you call it, clean lottery or whatever. And Jeff and I have described, Dan and Dalton have too, but talked about this over the years, the roadblocks. And if you look at the players here. So you got PCI, Porch Bandit Creek Indians. And like I've said in this negotiation, I get where the private enterprises, I get where they're coming from, right? I can understand private sector stuff a lot better. You want to protect what you're doing. Or expand. And while the legacy dog track folks are barely, you know, they're making it, but barely making it, PCI doesn't need this to happen. If it happens, that's good. You change it, and then they can have, if you have lottery in the state of Alabama, you have a constitution, CA here to change that, then they can expand what they're doing for gambling. Okay. But they're still making money. And good money right now, so they don't have to take a bad deal. So they got their people and their interest in Montgomery doing their bidding. So I don't have a problem with the Porch Bandit Creek Indians. I have a problem with the legislators doing their bidding. I understand where the private sector is coming from on this. And Legacy Dog Tracks have their people in there. And so this idea that you're going to get this clean lottery bill and it's going to go through and have a constitutional amendment to change it, and then all of a sudden Porch Greece can have expanded gaming. And I think Jeff said it earlier in his show. He's spot on. Are you going to go to the dumpy dog track gambling thing that's out there? Or are you going to go to the thing that has all the table games? If you're a gambler, you can go to the better place, right? So they don't want to let it happen for the legacy dog tracks. Portage Bandit Creek Indians needs, they're going to have, you know, they had the compact they talked about with Bentley. They talked about the expansion, all these things. They're going to get something out of this deal because they're now, in doing that, if Alabama does this, then they're going to expand their gaming, but they're going to want to, they're going to have some competition, maybe, depending on what comes through. But they don't have to do it. The state is desperate for the money, right? Say, we got to have that, money, got to have that gambling money, got to have that lottery money. And I'll give you a lottery thing here in a second that'll throw them all on their ear. But they got to have that money. But PCI doesn't have that. They're not figuring out how to pay the light bill with the Portage Bandit Creek Indians. So they don't have to take a deal that doesn't work for them. So like Jim and I were talking about on the text, you have to have legislators that are not doing the bidding of these other players. Because as long as the system's set up with the Legacy Dog Tracks having their people, because they're going to want to influence, right? They're private sector. I get it. I mean, if you're in a business, you're going to try to lobby for your business. I get where they're coming from, PCI lobbying for their. But it is incumbent upon those people that we elect to not do those bidding, do their bidding, but to do what the people want. Now, on the lottery thing, I know this is shocking, and I like to be shocking, is why this idea, why do states... If I would argue for a state lottery, I would be hypocritical because I argue against the state being in the booze business. And I like booze. Yeah, I like beer. I mean, some booze. I don't think government should be in the business of running a liquor store. Now, they'll say it's a net benefit to the state of Alabama and employs 650 people. Okay. And we can go through how it's set up where they can't actually own their own, they can't put a ABC store in a building owned by the state that has to be leased from somebody else in the private sector. Come on. I mean, I can see, you know, that's about as pretty transparent there how that game works. But I disagree with the state being in the booze business because I don't think that's a job of government. At the same time, then why would I turn around and say, you know what the job of government is to be in the lottery business? Well, Sean, other states do it. Doesn't mean it's right. If you do a constitutional amendment for lottery in the state, I think it should be lotteries. You should say, all right, and would the state still oversee it? Absolutely. Would the state still get revenue from it? Absolutely. But the state wouldn't run them. You and I and Sally and Bob and John or whoever could pull our capital and get in the lottery business. And then Tim and Stacy and Ben over here could do their, and we would compete. Well, we pay out more. We have more winners. We pay out bigger, whatever it is. We compete to have the better lottery. And then the state could make sure if you got a license, you pay some kind of exorbitant fee to get the license to run a lottery in the state. Okay, you pay that fee. Then the state has oversight, and they get a percentage of whatever the profits are, however they want to work it. You know, so the state still wets their beak and gets the money without us being in the business as a state of running a lottery. Same way we shouldn't be in the business of running liquor stores. But because it's so, like, entrenched, I mean, what if states out there, you know, Sean, the other states have lotteries. Okay, so let's go over to Georgia. Let's say Georgia also has full casino gaming. Well, government can't be running a casino. Well, why can they run a lottery? Why should we do something different than the other states and have lotteries here? But that's the kind of things that would be decided by people that are listening to their constituents, Jim, and would be trying to do something maybe different. But we can't even get the basic thing through. And so when I've opposed gambling in the state, and I don't use gaming, once again, I'm on this, gaming is what the kids are doing on their computer. Gambling is what we're talking about. It's not anti, it's just that's the word. That's, you know, it's called gambling. If you got people out there and you want gambling in the state, then just say what it is and just do the whole thing. But the problem is the bills that get presented, and Senator Coleman's is not going to see the light of day, but the bills that get presented, when I oppose them, it's not because I oppose the gambling. It's I oppose the bad deal, the bad structure that they come up with in Montgomery. All right, from the text line here, King of all unnamed texters said the work is on changing the Constitution. Get busy. And they'll warn you away from that, too. They're like, oh, if you start doing that, you're going to start messing. No, we've had CAs here within the last 4 years. Anaya's Law was a CA. We can do it. Ella said, Sean, two questions after hearing the John Wall situation being tied. Think this will wind up heading to the courts? I don't know that, Ella. I don't know that it will, because I don't know all the information, but it gives me pause when ALGOP, the steering committee, was real close to investigate. I think they should investigate it to know what they're dealing with. And hopefully it comes out that John Wall's fine. It's no problem, but do the investigation. And then second question, most important here from Ella, did I hear you correctly on Bill's show yesterday that you were making gumbo? If so, how'd it turn out? It is still, we have not had it yet. So I'm still probably by this evening. Duck gumbo, some wood ducks in that mix, bunch of andouille sausage. I'll give you a report tomorrow or Wednesday, Ella, on the show. Joshua, who is the biggest bootlegger in the USA? My guess would be Alabama. I mean, once again, what is the... If you just switch it from liquor, and you know, when they've attacked me before from ABC, I mean, it's been years ago when the quote came out by about me and some other people who are talking about this in the state, that we wanted kids drunk in the streets. Sure, that's exactly what I want. You're spot on. You got me. No. You can still run the ABC board to make sure minors aren't getting booze. ABC board can still take the revenue from the liquor being sold at the private enterprises in the state, still get the money without running a liquor store. I mean, this, if it was hamburgers they were selling, not liquor, people are like, what is that? There's a state hamburger stand, and all the other private hamburger stands have to buy their hamburgers from the state hamburger stand and then resell them? This is such a bad legacy for our state, and we're not the only one. It needs to go away. Rock and Roll Doctor said, what's the upside of doing the dog track owners bidding at the state house? Free dog food, dog treats, $50,000 a year. I'm finding it hard to believe they can find a huckleberry for less than $250,000 annually. Well, look who gets the donations to their campaigns, Rock and Roll Doctor, and that's where it comes down to. So they do the bidding of that group, and then there's another group that does the bidding of PCI. Then there's a group of people that, and these are the people I understand. I understand Legacy Dog Tracks. I understand PCI, private enterprises wanting to protect their business. I get that. Makes sense. The elected officials that vote no on gambling because they're morally opposed to it. Okay. I understand them. I may disagree, but I understand them. It's the, well, I don't support gambling unless we make some Byzantine system out of this that, you know, basically, as I've looked at it in the past, and probably I've said this in the past, it would make a gambling utility for the state of Alabama. You know how responsive utilities are. Oh, I got some stories from the last few weeks. A gambling utility with no competition, no reason to have the nicer casino with the better cover band and the more delicious snow crab legs or whatever they do. You would just have these few players in the mix and they would be there and there would be no other choice. If we're going to do this, then damn it, do it. And set a threshold to be able to have a casino. You pay this money to get the license. You pay a certain amount in taxes to the state. The state has the ability to audit and oversee the casino and let private enterprise do it. And let people compete. They'll say, oh, well, Sean, you do that, there's going to be a casino in every corner. That's the other argument gets thrown out. If they did your libertarian thing, there'd be a casino in every corner. Have you noticed that there's only a certain amount of business out there? So if you put a casino on every corner, then there wouldn't be enough business for all the casinos. And then the last one in would close down and we would figure out what the market would support. Until another player came in and said, well, I'm going to make mine even better and I'm going to have a water slide or whatever the heck they would do to make it better. It's competition. It's just frustrating. It comes from the fact that Senator Coleman's bringing this up. It's not going to happen, but it just reignites the people going, yeah, we should be able to vote on a lottery, clean lottery, but you're not going to get a chance to do it. Head to the news and be right back. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:54, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. It's warming up out there. A little warm temps compared to what we had over the weekend. Dr. Bill has rain in our forecast as well. We'll get more from that coming up in just a little bit. All right, to the text line here. That's the text line music, by the way. That's the text line theme song. Unnamed texter here. Come on, yo. And by the way, I asked you for like New Year's resolution. Give yourself a nickname or something on your text. First name, nickname, something. Helps me bond. The unnamed texter said, if the state is not going to sell liquor, then we are only left with mostly Indian liquor stores. And you mean Indian nationals, right? Not Native Americans. Yeah, probably, but okay. Good. I mean, private enterprise. Get out and do it. Get somebody else to get out there and do it. Well, like I said, it's just like on the gambling thing. I'm not opposed to the ABC stores because I'm opposed to people buying a bottle of bourbon. I just don't think it should be the job of government. Here we go. Sean, Greg here. Our politicians are already hitting the lottery, in my opinion. The lobbyists for PCI are very active in the state. Also, as you've already stated, PCI benefits none for legalizing gambling in the state. Yeah, they're not. You got a bunch of the government's starving, as always. It's always starving. Government's starving. Legacy dog tracks are starving. PCI has a nice steak dinner every night. Why do they need to? They don't need to take a bad deal for them. Dirt Digger said the state is going into the medical marijuana business, just like alcohol business will be next, will be the gambling business. You know, setting up, now I'll say this, the state is not running the dispensaries and all that stuff for medical marijuana, but they set up this Byzantine system picking winners and losers. Once again, if you're going to have medical marijuana that was passed, what, that bill 4 years ago, still not implemented. We had the conversation last week with Alabama Medical Cannabis Association Director John McMillan. And we're finally, maybe he thinks sometime April or so, people will be getting this that, you know, the state voted on 4 years before. Why didn't we vote this? Why didn't we say, hey, tell you what, you've got to follow these rules here. If you're going to do this, it's certain amount, this amount of security at the dispensary, all the stuff they have in the mix now, security at these places, product testing, excise tax, you have to pay for a license fee, all that. But whoever can reach that level and check those boxes off, they get to compete. But we didn't do that. No. We just said, well, there are going to be three of these and five of those. It's all right, Michael. All I want is a Port Sulphur-style gas station with poor boys, adult snowballs, live shrimp, and two armed bandits. And two one-armed bandits. Yeah, I remember the first time we went into one of those. I think we were going down to Grand Isle or something, Michael, go fishing, go camping and wade fishing. I guess we were freshmen in college, or the summer in between freshman and sophomore year. And we pulled in. And I was like, this place got everything, y'all, like you just described. But I spent a lot more on cold beer than I did gambling. So it's never been my thing. People say, oh, you want this because you want. I don't gamble. I just believe in better ways to do things. David said, let me go ahead and get this text out of the way now. Sean wants water slides and amusement parks at casinos. I guess he wants Alabama to become Las Vegas. I'm just saying, you know, why do they do all the stuff in Vegas? Why do they do bigger shows or something or all that? Because they're competing. So, or the other option is, let's not do it at all. Zero gambling, that's another logical decision. But if we're going to have gambling, don't make it a utility. Adam in Citronelle said, I will only vote for a lottery/gaming bill, haha, if they don't earmark the money, unless the earmarks are for reducing property tax. Yeah, that get them some attention. Bob says, the state has done so well with medical marijuana, just think of state gambling. We wouldn't be alive to see it. Bob, yeah. Let's see. The idea guy says free market's the only way to operate the lottery, etc. Look at anything the government is running, healthcare, Social Security, which Congress had constantly robbed, etc. Security, healthcare. Chris and Wemo, compare the prices at ABC and privately owned liquor stores. The state sells cheaper, hands down. Yes, because this, the free market, people have to buy it from the state at that level and then mark it up. It's